Hey friends, we wanted to take a quick minute and personally invite you to two really special gatherings coming this fall. First, our intentional motherhood retreat in Portland, Oregon, October 15th through the 17th, and then our intentional fatherhood retreat in Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Honestly, these retreats have become so much more than events for us. They've become spaces where people encounter God, experience healing, honesty, friendship, freedom, and real transformation. We live in a world that is full of information. We have podcasts, books, content, advice, but transformation requires more than information. Sometimes you need space, you need community, you need honesty, you need the presence of God, and you need to get around other people who are fighting for the same things you are. At these events, we've watched marriages soften again. We've watched fathers come out of hiding. We've watched mothers breathe deeply again. We've watched people feel seen, known, challenged, and deeply encouraged. And we would genuinely love for you to join us. You can learn more and grab tickets at intentionalparents.org. And for all things fatherhood, you can visit intentionalfatherhood.org. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
Hey, Intentional fam. So many of you know that my mom, Diane, is more than just a podcaster or speaker. She's actually a prolific writer. And so much of how she communicates her heart to the world is through her writing. We asked a lot of you what you wanted to hear more of on the podcast, and so many of you said you want to hear more wisdom from Diane. So every once in a while, we're calling this an occasional series. We're going to record episodes of Simply That, my mom, Diane, sharing her heart with you through writing.
Today, I want to share with you part two of this occasional series about the power of words. If you missed part one, you might want to hit pause and listen to that one. But let's just jump into part two of Words Matter. I told you about how overhearing my mom complaining to a friend of hers on the phone that she could hardly wait for us kids to go back to school led me to swallow a great big lie. A lie that stayed in my belly for decades. The lie that I was a bother, that if my mom couldn't even enjoy me, I must be deeply flawed, that I'd better stay quiet and under the radar and not rock the boat. But there's more to the story than my mom spouting off. My best friend's mother had a completely different take on her kids and their friends going back to school. And her way of seeing me has also stayed with me for years and years and decades. Anita Joslin was the most elegant woman I knew when I was in about the sixth grade. She had a delightful British accent, and in the early 70s, she drove a shiny new forest green Jaguar with leather seats. Amazing. She smoked, as most Europeans did back then, but she used one of those long white cigarette holders. You've seen them in the old movies, I'm sure, that she would then making her seem like she was this beautiful movie star. And she dyed her hair bright blonde. Now, no one back in the 60s that I knew dyed their hair. She even had a full-length fur coat. And in my young eyes, she was a picture of the ultimate beautiful woman. But that's not what made me love her. I wanted to go to her house, which was on the other side of our small village in Germany, every day after school, because she'd be there waiting for Caroline, my best friend, and for me, with the warmest welcome imaginable, as if she'd been waiting all day for us just to come home. And she'd have some sort of special treat already, a pot of British tea staying warm under one of those quilted tea cozies, triangular pieces of toast with a crust cut off, which my mother would have considered a terrible waste, slathered in Nutella, or sometimes a bakery bought cake with a pitcher of sweet cream to soften it. And we'd eat in the living room on the sofa, as if we were the best company come to tea. And she'd ask us questions, and she'd laugh at our funny stories about our crazy French teacher who didn't speak a word of English. And she knew my dreams. I wanted a horse someday when we moved back to the U.S., and she'd always ask me about that as if it were a done deal. What kind of horse? English or Western? How much have you saved up so far? Describe your perfect pony. No one else wanted to hear me go on and on and on about everything I loved about horses, and I never stopped to wonder why Anita Joslin cared. I just fell at her feet and worshipped the woman she was and told myself I wanted to grow up to be just like her. On the weekend before school started, Caroline invited me to spend the night, and of course I said yes. And as I left her house the next morning, Anita began to cry. She hugged me, not a typical Brit, and told me how much she's going to miss me now that I'd be busy all the time with school. My world stopped for just a heartbeat. This beautiful woman was going to miss me. She wanted me around. She liked me. Those words healed a part of me that had been hurt inadvertently, nonetheless hurt by my mom. Because words hurt and words heal. And I know that right now, every mom listening is feeling three things: guilty, that you've hurt your kids with your words. I get that. So did I. And I feel guilty too. Today, I feel guilty. Number two, you feel inspired that you want to be the kind of woman who brings healing with her words. And you're frustrated because you don't know how to hold back those hurtful words and replace them with healing words. You want to change, but all your efforts fall flat as soon as your particular buttons or your wounds get bumped. It's this last one I want to talk about today. How to replace the hurtful words that come out, no matter how much you promise yourself you'll never lash out again, with healing words that stay with your sons and daughters, forming their identity as the beloved of God, crafted by Him uniquely in a particular facet of His image. It's what we all want to give our kids, isn't it? Remember what we talked about in the last episode? What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Now, most of us don't have wells anymore, but my grandparents had a farm in eastern Oregon, and they had a well that was covered up. And I remember my grandma explained to me the way wells work. Back then, a well was a long, deep hole dug through layers of dirt and sediment and rock all the way down to the water table. The well would gradually fill with clean, sweet water. If you wanted to drink, you'd have to lower the bucket, let it fill, and then pull it back up. Here's a process I have found for cleaning up that well inside of your soul so that what comes up is clean and refreshing. Number one, it's just 2 points here. I'm a simple person, and so I'm going to speak to you in simple language. Number one, think about what you think about. We've all heard it said, get out of your head. But every time I hear that, I think, how in the world do we get out of our head? I think that's just impossible and an unfortunate saying. Every one of us has a continual conversation going on in our minds. It's the way we're wired. But we can control what we allow our minds to dwell on. We have the ability to refuse to focus on toxic thoughts and choose what we think about. Here's what God's word says about what to think about. Paul starts off with an exhortation and ends his spiel with an invitation in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now pay attention to that last phrase. It's important, even though it seems random where it's placed. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present those requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, notice a couple of things. Rejoicing is a volitional act, not an emotional response. We rejoice with our will. We decide to rejoice or not. Gentleness descends on our souls when we cultivate an awareness of the nearness of God. That's why that seemingly random phrase is put in there. Let your gentleness be evident to all, period. And then the Lord is near. What is that about? It's because when we cultivate an awareness of the nearness of God, that's what the spiritual disciplines are about, after all. Various ways to keep us present to God as He is present to us. And it's also anxiety's ultimate cure is entrusting our needs to God. So you're in the middle of feeling frustrated and about ready to burst out something you don't want to say, and you turn immediately to that nearness of the presence of God, and you entrust your needs to Him. It sounds so simple, but honestly, it takes a lifetime to master. At this point in the passage, Paul gives us a list of things to think about in Philippians 4:8. It's a grid to run our thoughts through. Now, I'm going to read it, verse 8, in the Passion Translation, because it squeezes out every last drop of meaning in the passage. Here it is. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. The Amplified Bible translates that last phrase as, think continually on these things, center your mind on them, implant them in your heart. This is how we fill the well with clean water so that when the bucket gets bumped, beautiful healing words spill out. And what do we do when there's still dirty, yucky, hurtful words coming out from time to time? Number two, you ask my favorite question. You've heard me talk about this. It's a practice I use whenever I notice my shoulders are tense, my stomach tight, my hands clenched. Indicators that I'm not right now a woman at rest. And it's based on a prayer found in Psalm 139. The psalm starts with, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. And ends with, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way or in the margin of my Bible or way of pain in me. So see if there's any way of pain in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So I simply ask, Father, what is this about? And then I sit with Him quietly. I still myself to hear. I lean in to listen. Sometimes I hear right away, and sometimes I get up to do my day not hearing yet. On those days, I carry this question with me. I go on a walk and I say, Father, what is this about? I open my heart to hear when I'm driving or folding laundry or doing life. Like David expressed in Psalm 40, I wait patiently, not in a passive sense, but with anticipation that He will tell me or show me or lead me to understand what is at the root of this way of pain in my soul. What's making me touchy, impatient with my people, or teary? Why is my bucket coming up with nasty stuff in it? That's enough to chew on for now. I'll be back to tell you what I've heard when I've asked my favorite questions and how it's helped change me. For now, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you are a changer of us from the inside out, that you alone can clean the well so that what comes up in the bucket is beautiful and gracious and kind, even when life is not kind and when things are hard and I'm anxious. Lord, I pray that you would teach us. Teach us your ways. Teach us your heart so that we may be good representatives of you to our children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.